Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Do y'all remember, shortly after the 9/11 attacks, the implementation of the Homeland Security Advisory System? This was a color-coded terrorism threat advisory scale. The different levels on the scale triggered specific, if not obscure, actions by government and federal agencies that were meant to protect the level of security at airports and other public facilities. This was referred to the terror alert level. The scale consisted of 5 color-coded threat levels, which were intended to reflect the probability of a terrorist attack and its potential gravity. And these published terror alerts would urge American citizens, especially those traveling in the transportation systems, be vigilant. Take notice of your surroundings and report suspicious items or activities to local authorities immediately. Yes, if you've traveled after 9/11, you've probably heard or seen one of these terror alerts go up. It's of course designed as a sense to enhance our security. We should really feel the most secure as possible people, it would seem. Yet, whenever we've done research on this, a published study in January 2009 of the American Journal of Public Health found that raising the threat condition actually had negative economic, physical, and psychological effects on people. Our sense of security apparently isn't enhanced at all. To the contrary, people get more anxious the higher the threat level. Vigilance, I guess, breeds paranoia. Not only that, the study found that mentally ill people, the disabled, African Americans, Latinos, Chinese Americans, Korean Americans, and generally non-US citizens are likelier to think that the alert level is higher than it actually is. And they would worry and change their behavior due to those fears. We can be one freaked out country sometimes. Now, believe it or not, I didn't even realize this until I was looking into things. We don't actually use the Homeland Security Threat Advisory System anymore. They did away with it. Now they have the National Terrorism Advisory System that no longer uses a color-coded system, but instead posts bulletins or alerts relating to our national security. Yes, a little less intense, but we still have CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News to make sure that we get worked up pretty quickly about whatever's going on in our world, right? There's always a reason to be alert, right? There's always something to be thinking about that might possibly happen, that might possibly go wrong. And then along comes Matthew, and just when you thought we would get some good news about the coming of hope and peace and life in this Advent world, Matthew even reminds us, keep awake. He references the flood. Until the day Noah entered the ark, Noah's neighbors were sitting around. They didn't know anything until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Preaching about the second coming of Christ is always a little bit challenging, in part because there's so much we don't know, and even if there's lots of authors who like to tell us that they do know, we find out that they really don't know, right? Sometimes it's just easier not to think about it than it is to think about it and then maybe become a little bit afraid, or at least at best confused. We have so many things to be afraid of in the first place. Is this just one more to add to the list? I mean, there's international terrorism, there's domestic terrorism, there's illegal immigration, there's that spike of crime in your neighborhood prompting you to ask, do I need to get that upgraded security system? There's the fear of letting your children walk to school or play in the neighborhood. There's financial concerns, there's identity theft, and y'all, I gotta tell you, romaine lettuce isn't even safe these days. Oh, and one more thing, stay awake. The Son of Man is coming. Is the call to live so hyper-vigilantly so that we can spot the coming of Jesus like we can spot a UK fan in a sea of Louisville red? Does Jesus really want us to add one more fear to our lives? Fear that if we're not living perfectly, that we might just end up like those people during Noah's time? Now, as we look at this story, of this text, we find there's 3 images Jesus uses to talk about this. They're like mini stories. The first one harkens back to Noah and the ark. The second one is a scene of everyday life and work, and the third is the story of a robbed homeowner. And what ties all these scenes together is their normality. People in Noah's time were eating, they were drinking, they were being married and given in marriage. There was nothing remarkable about their lives until, well, it was too late. And in the second scene, folks were in the field working in the mill, stuff they do every single day to keep their lives going. Nothing remarkable is happening. And then it's over. In the third example, a man goes to sleep in his own house, slept soundly, and is robbed. No one was hurt, but apparently some bread and wine were taken. It's basically a commercial for an ADT system, y'all. No, nothing remarkable going on here. It's really just normal life being lived. The other commonality among these scenarios is that they knew nothing. I did watch some of the old Hogan's Heroes. I think of Sergeant Schultz. I know nothing. I see nothing. They knew nothing until the flood swept them all away. One was taken, one will be left. No premonitions, just, whoa, where did that person go? If the owner had known, he would have stayed awake, but obviously he didn't know, so he didn't stay awake. There's nothing wrong with going to bed at night, right? Jesus says, plain as day, repeatedly, he didn't know. You don't know. Shoot, I don't even know. About that day and the hour, no one knows, even the angels in heaven nor the Son. Give it up, friends. There's no advance warning system. There's no color-coded threat advisory scales. There's no bulletins or alerts that are going to come out in the local news. No prevailing winds or market indicators to say this is when the Son of Man is going to come. No matter how many people want to tell us that they have the answer. When that day or hour comes for the Son of Man to return, God only knows. And the point is not that by staying alert we will somehow know. The point is that we keep awake because we do not know. Be alert. Be awake to ways in which you can love and care for your neighbor. Don't fall asleep. God could show up in your life at any moment. See, being awake is not the same as being hypervigilant. And I think of this whenever I think of my dog, Wendell. Wendell is a wonderful, fun, loving dog, but Wendell can be a little bit neurotic at times. If Wendell is awake in the house and there is a dog who barks 5 blocks down the street, she will let us know and the entire neighborhood know about it. If we are on a walk, every single squirrel in our neighborhood is definitely a threat. Definitely a threat. And it's like she's never met another dog. I'm serious. Or if someone comes to the front door, she barks incessantly, completely freaks out. One day I came in the front door, I walked inside, she kept barking, assuming that it couldn't have just been me. But if I enter through the garage door, she sometimes slowly but surely gets out of her bed, saunters over, looks up at me, and then walks back to her bed to go back to sleep. And if she does happen to be asleep and something happens, she will very likely just sleep right through it. If I need to get her up to take her to her crate at night or to let her out, I have to say several times, Wendell, get up, you gotta wake up here, dog. There's kind of two modes for Wendell. It's either asleep or it's hypervigilant dog who's aware of every single thing going on in the neighborhood. In that sense, she's a great watchdog. It's wonderful until she wakes up the baby, but we deal with that. See, being awake doesn't necessarily mean being hypervigilant. To be awake just means don't be asleep. See, I think to be awake means, as we go into this season of Advent, to be aware of God's presence right here and right now. To be awake means to have a kingdom-oriented mindset that looks for God to show up each and every day in our lives. To be awake means to seek love, to seek justice and love mercy and walk humbly. To be awake to the plight of our neighbor, to be aware of the state of our own heart. See, y'all, I think to be awake means to acknowledge that as we come this Advent season, we live between two worlds. We live between the world of God's kingdom and the brokenness of our world with its wars and famine, with homelessness and hungry children, with economic injustice and the powerful ignoring the plight of the lowly. We read earlier in Isaiah a vision that God has for our world, for the kingdom of God here on earth. It's a vision in which nations from all around will come together, not to do battle and to fight, but to come and to learn from the Lord, to understand the ways that God has given us. And we read that in this world, those people bringing their weapons, those weapons will then be turned into implementations of creation, for farming, for peace. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. See, to be awake means to be aware of both worlds, to live as kingdom people, even when we see the brokenness around us. Because whenever we fall asleep in two different ways. We fall asleep on one side of things, saying, well, I forget that the kingdom is actually all around me. I forget about the ways of living in the kingdom world. But we also fall asleep to the ways in which God is working in and through our lives. Friends, the biblical vision is a vision that, yes, includes a kind of judgment in Christ's return, but it also has something to do with peace and the well-being of all creation. It has something to do with the suspicion that things are not the way they are supposed to be. It has something to do with the conviction that the God who decisively acted in the past is working for salvation in our world right here and now, that things are not going to stay the way they are. See, Christ always has a way of turning things upside down. So as we begin this Advent season, the invitation is to be awake, to be watchful, to be people who seek the things of the kingdom, who can live ridiculous lives in the right here and right now, because we know the end of the story. We know that God holds this world and our lives, and we look to Christ as our Savior and our King. See, we need not live in a fearful, hyper-vigilant mode, but we can live with the assurance that the kingdom has already been established in Christ, and we are invited to participate in it right here. I love the way that Pastor James Bryant Smith puts it. I live in the strong and unshakable kingdom of God. The kingdom is not in trouble, and neither am I. See, being awake means being aware of this kingdom, and it means living with the assurance that the God who showed up in Jesus is the same God who keeps showing up in our lives each and every day. And it is with this assurance that we can be awake this Advent. Awake to God's presence with us now. Awake to God's future glory. Awake. Because the kingdom is in God's hands, and that makes all the difference. Thanks be to God for that. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.